Gabriella?
Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Oh, no.
Believe somebody. Good evening, Hannah.
Good evening.
We'll start momentarily.
Okay, I'm going to unmute.
I'm going to mute.
Okay. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa, Gedula Chemincha, Tati, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat. Amcha sagvenu taharenu nora. Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yudkav Shin. Barhem tacharem, rachame sikarcha, tamid damlen. Betet resh, daritav gimel. Tasim kadosh, berov tuvcha, nael adata. Et kuf bet, et nunayan. Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zochrei kedushata. Yud gimel lamed, ei zayin ku. Shavatenu kabel ushma tziakatenu yodea ta'alumo. Shin kufav, tzadi yutav. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erech Apayim, Berav chesed be'emet, notzer chesed la'alafim, noseyah on wapesha, v'chata'av v'nakei. We will now connect to the energy of certainty using a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. The verse comes from Parashah Yitro, it's Pasuk 29. And we will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudcha b'richu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu. L'yachta l'shem yudhe b'vavhe v'yichda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. V'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadenu k'nenei aleinu ma'aseh yadenu k'nenei. Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nan Dekucha Berichu Koma De'aved Le'ela Wetata Kolaihu Keshot Be'ovada Nikshot Be'le'la Mila Be'alma Devae Barnash Vedach yaleya mineyaulam haga, peya kalana tehakulu o Vada Dikshot Inun Wikola Isteri Be Alma. The energy of the year 5780, our current year, has a revealed energy of compensation and a concealed energy of Shefa. The way we reveal the Shefa and connect it to the compensation is by studying a verse from the Tanakh that connects to both of these energies. Tonight, we will be studying a verse from Isaiah chapter 43, verse 17. Amotio Rikev versus Gail Jesus Yachav Yishkevu Bal Yakumu Deaku Kapashta Kavu. The energy of the year 5774 is peace in the Middle East. There is one verse in the Tanakh we study. It's from 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wesamti makom le'ami Yisrael untati v'shakam. Takta willow your cause, Ode willow Yosifu. Vene avla anoto, ka asher barishona. We will now connect to the 72 names of God. Using the tool of saying each letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo layo sayote ala me mehe shila lahe aka akaheta hezayo ala da la awa heheya yozala me behe ereyo hekome la awa kalayo la wawa mehela. Nulacha yo yo yo, me la he 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 wa, nuta he he a a, yo re ta shi a he, re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re, yo he wa la he he, ka wa ko me nu da, anu yo he a me, re he a yo yo za. Hey, 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 me yo ha, wa wa la yo la he, sa a la re yo, a shi la me yo he, wa he wa da nu yo, hey, hey, shi a me me, nu nu wa nu yo ta, me be he pe wa yo, nu me me yo yo la, hey, re he, me ta re, wa me be yo he he, a nu wa me he yo. Da me be me nu ko ayo a he be wa re a he yo be me yo he he yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Sadiqim, utilizing the same technique. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a ame me be shi la yo he. Anu a kameta, ehe yo anu da la he wa he mea, yo ta la me re he, he yo yo he me me, la wa wa ka be yo, la yo wa pe nu la, nu me ha yo he yo, me nu he, he he wa, nu yo ta he, he shi a, yo re ta shi a he, re la yo a wa me, la yo be wa hey Yo yo wa la he he ka ako me nu da anu yo he wa me re he ya yo he za he she he me ka ka wa wa la yo yo he ka a la re yo ka a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo she a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he pe a yo. Nuko me yo re la he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me he la yo me he me. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 18th day of Sivan, Rabbi Yisachar Dov Ber Ben Rabbi Yitzhak, known as the Saba Kaddish, the Holy Grandfather. Rabbi Avraham HaKohen Sharansil Rappaport, Rabbi Yerucham Livowitz, Rabbi Aaron Cohen, Rabbi Yisrael Zev Gustman, we will now connect to the Ani meditation, which is a form of climbing the tree of life from Malkut to Keter. Malkut, Yo Ahini Wayohe. Yo aheni wa yo hei. Yo aheni wa yo hei. Yesod. Yu ahuni wu yohu. Yu ahuni wu yohu. Yu ahuni wu yohu. Hod. Yu ahuni wu yohu. Yu ahuni wu yohu. Yu ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Yahini we yohi. Yahini we yohi. Yahini we yohi. Tiferet. Yo ahuni wo yoho. Yo ahuni wo yoho. Yo ahuni wo yoho. Gevura. Yeah. Ni we yoh. Yeah. Niwi yo. Yeah. Niwi yo. Hesed. Yeah, Henny. Yeah, Henny, way yo hair. Bina. Yeah, Henny, way yo hair. Yeah, Henny, way yo hair. Yeah, honey, way yo hey. Achma. Yeah, honey, way yo ha. Yeah, honey, way yo ha. Yeah, honey, way yo ha. Achma. Excuse me, Keter. Yeah, honey, way yo ha. Yeah, honey, way yo ha. Ya ahani wa yoha. We will also connect to the Ma meditation. Yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey. Yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav hey, yud, yud hey, yud hey wav, yud hey wav. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoth, we say in a whisper, tonight's class is of writings of the Ari. You'll find the handout in row 14 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. The second column from the left in row 14 is a landing page link to the landing page of the writings of the Ari. When that opens up, please scroll down in Parasha Shlech Lecha. It's about 75% of the way down. When you get to Parasha Shlech Lecha, the second link is Souls and Spies. We will also, possibly, depending on time, connect to the fourth link, who is the servant of whom? We will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarechu Ishkinte Bidkilu Urchimu Udkilu Udkilu Urchimu Le'akta L'shem Yudhe Bavavhe Yehuda, Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Vasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Karenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Karenehu. The title of this essay is Souls of Spies and Princes. Joseph's brothers were reincarnated as the spies sent into Israel. So we have to understand that that's the 10 spies who were brought back the bad report on the land. The other two, Joshua and Caleb, were not being reincarnated. So which brothers were they? Joshua was not the reincarnation of Joseph, and Caleb was not the reincarnation of the tribe he belonged to. But all of the others were connected to the reincarnation of those brothers who sold Joseph into slavery. With that information, the portion of the Torah read this week opens with the story of the princes of each tribe who were sent to spy out the land of Israel before the Jewish people entered it. Joseph had called them spies back when he was second in command in the Pharaoh in Egypt. The 10 brothers, according to the Midrash, came in through different gates, different traveling to the land of Egypt. And in that process of being separated from each other, Joseph used that as a way of describing them as spies. But actually, the verse says a Hebrew word that can be translated as a tourist or as a spy. Continuing to read. Commenting on the verse, and Joseph said to them, "You are spies. Our sages said that Joseph was hinting to his brothers that they would be reincarnated and spy out the land of Israel, but that Joshua, the prince of the tribe of Ephraim, the son of Joseph, would not be a reincarnated spy. The patriarch Jacob had 12 sons, each of whom which became the progenitor of one of the 12 tribes of Israel. When Joseph told his brothers, "You are spies," he was in effect telling them that all 11 of them, including his brother Levi, would be reincarnated as the spies who spied out the land. The Arizal would explain how this works, saying that no spy was sent from the tribe of Levi. Based on this, we will be able to understand this passage very well. Let us first note that when the Torah refers to the princes of Israel in an earlier passage, in the book of Numbers, at the beginning of the book, they are called the heads of the thousands of Israel. Whereas in this passage about the spies, they are called the heads of the children of Israel. That is a distinction that most people would say is a distinction without a difference, but in reality it's very significant, as we will see. The reason for this discrepancy is as follows. When God foresaw that these princes would sin and that Moses wished to send them, he devised a way to fortify them, minimizing and rectifying somewhat the evil they would do. He therefore decreed that the souls of the actual sons of Jacob, the brothers of Joseph, who were literally the children of Israel, would be infused into the souls of these spies, so that their holiness would help them not to sin completely. Nevertheless, this did not help them. Jacob was also known as Israel, so the phrase "the children of Israel," while usually denoting the Jewish people as a whole, may also be literally understood to mean the sons of Jacob. The infusion of the souls of the sons of Jacob above is an example of ibur, literally impregnation, a specific type of reincarnation in which the soul being reincarnated does not become the full and only soul of the body into which it is incarnated, but is rather grafted onto the soul that is already present in that body. We have studied this in advanced reincarnation. The result is that the soul of the individual retains its intrinsic consciousness and identity, but its powers are augmented by those of the impregnated soul that it hosts. In other words, the souls of the sons of Jacob that come into these leaders of the tribes are supposed to give advice and to help the leaders of the tribes not sin, not make the mistake of Lashon Hara about the land. For whatever reason, the egos got control of the situation. And these 10 men went against the good advice they were receiving. This is the mystical meaning of the verse, "They were all men. The heads of the children of Israel were they." They themselves were the progenitors of the tribes, who were in fact the heads of the Jewish people. And the word "head" also has the meaning of beginning. This is also the mystical meaning of the verse, "Send for yourself men who will spy out the land of Canaan." that I am giving to the children of Israel. The verb am giving is in the present tense, meaning these men whom you are now sending to spy out the land that I am giving now to the children of Israel are themselves the progenitors of the tribes, who are called the sons of Israel. I will give it to them in the merit of this expedition, if they deserve it. All of this is coming from different phraseology in the Torah that the Ari notices and other people noticed but did not comment upon. And this brings us to an understanding that everybody has some aspect of Torah that they are to reveal. Does not mean they're the only ones who can reveal that aspect, but it means they have something they're supposed to reveal, that it is part of their tikkun for them to reveal it as a chidush, a new teaching. Continuing to read. The soul of Joseph was impregnated into the spy of the tribe of Manasseh. Now the 11 souls of the progenitors of the tribes, except for Joseph, were infused into the 11 spies. Since the tribe of Levi did not have any portion in the land, they did not need to send a spy. But the tribe of Levi is soft judgment, and he was very much involved in the decision to sell Joseph. So let's understand by reading more the Ari's consciousness and explanation. The tribe of Levi was not meant to make their living by farming or pasturing the land. Their job was to serve as priests and Levites in the temple, and teach the Torah to the rest of the people. They lived off their sacrificial dues that they got from the priest. From the various produce tithes, the various animal tithes, and so forth. These were which the other tribes were required to give to them. They lived in special cities that were set aside for them, which were surrounded by parks. And those special cities were mixed into the lands of the other tribes. But they possessed no agricultural territory other than 2,000 cubits surrounding their city. Thus, since they were not interested in the land per se, no representative of their tribe was sent to spy out the land of Israel. In its place, the tribe of Joseph was divided into two, the Manasseh and Ephraim. Manasseh and Ephraim were the two sons of Joseph. Before his death, Jacob made these two sons progenitors of tribes in order to keep the number of tribes 12 in the cases when the tribe of Levi would not be counted. There is another teaching in the Kabbalah that if the firstborn had remained the workers in the temple and not have to be transferred the firstborn rights, the priestly rights, to the tribe of Levi, if that had not happened, then Manasseh and Ephraim would still have become leaders of tribes, because there would need to be 15 tribes. The 15, the number 15, connecting to the upper worlds. And if that were to happen, then there could be some understanding of why the Ari was teaching us that the 49,000 years would not have to be completely connected, completely manifested. As we discussed, I believe it was in yesterday's morning class in the 10 Luminous Emanations. Continuing to read. The soul of Joseph was impregnated into the spy of the tribe of Manasseh. It is therefore written of the tribe of Joseph, of the tribe of Manasseh. Whereas in the other, enlisting the princes of the tribes who were sent as spies, the idiom used in each case is of the tribe of X, so-and-so. Here the name of the tribe Manasseh is preceded by the phrase of the tribe of Joseph. The tribe of Ephraim is mentioned earlier, so the phrase of the tribe of Joseph cannot be considered an introductory phrase that covers both tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh. This phenomena, the Arizal tells us, therefore alludes to the fact that the soul of Joseph was impregnated specifically into the prince of Manasseh. Even though in all cases Ephraim takes precedent over Manasseh, Joseph was nonetheless associated with Manasseh in order to indicate what we have said. And there could also be another reason that Manasseh was literally the firstborn. And as I mentioned, the whole idea of the 15 tribes versus the 13 tribes has to do with the status of the firstborn being having the responsibility of being the priest in the temple. The priest and the singers or the caregivers, however you wish to describe the work of the Levites. Continuing. I'm continuing where I left off, which is that when Jacob split Joseph into the two tribes, he made a point of giving Ephraim precedence over Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Thus Joseph was left as the spy of the tribe of Ephraim, without the impregnation of a progenitor of any tribe. Moses was therefore afraid to send him, lest he sin. Therefore, Moses called Hoshea, or Hosea, ben Nun, Yehoshua, Joshua. Joshua's given name was Hoshea, but Moses changed it to Yehoshua at this time. In Hebrew, the sole difference between the consonant spelling of these two names is the addition of the letter Yud to Hoshea, making it Yehoshua, the Yud at the beginning of the name. He did this, as our sages say, praying for him. May Hashem spare you from the scheme of the spies. The name Hoshea means salvation. The addition of the letter Yud to the name Hoshea makes the word begin with the two-letter name of God, Yud and He. The name Joshua may thus be interpreted to mean, may God save. And if the other tribes, the other spies, had not chosen to be spies and bring back the bad report, but had remained tourists and brought back a more honest report, then the name Yehoshua would have actually represented the action of salvation. And Joshua would have still led the people into the land because Moses would not have been able to go into the land because there literally was no tree in the land. This is a whole separate subject, but one of the questions that Moses asked the tribes to bring back a report on, he asked, were there tree in the land? The singular word for tree, not the plural word for trees. And this idea that Moses may not have been able to go into the land, but all of the other people could have gone into the land, would have made Joshua the active Mashiach of his generation, the person that is to bring salvation. Now, all of these additional things that I am speaking to you about are things that just occurred to me as we're reading. These are, to my knowledge, new chidushim, new teachings from the Torah. Does that mean that they're correct? When we have the Mashiach, we can ask him. Moses thereby drew into Joshua the soul of Levi. The mystical meaning of calling him this new name is that Moses thereby drew into Joshua the soul of Levi, the son of Jacob, whose soul had not been impregnated into the prince of his tribe, as we mentioned. It was specifically Moses who was able to do this. For he, as the head of the tribe of Levi, should have gone on this mission and been the spy for the tribe of Levi. Instead, he sent Joshua, his student, in his place. For one student is considered the same as his son, as is known. Thus, the soul of Levi, which should have been impregnated into Moses, became impregnated into Joshua. And whenever you read the word impregnated in this paragraph, you can also substitute ibur. We can now better understand the difference in the expressions that occurs in this passage. First, God says, send for yourself, addressing Moses in the singular. Later in the same verse, he says, send one man from each of their ancestral tribes, addressing him in the plural. In English, there is no difference between the singular and plural imperative, or single and plural second person future. In archaic English, there is send you and also send ye. And you will send and ye will send. But there is no such distinction in modern English. But in Hebrew, the first send in this verse is the singular, shlach, while the second send, tishlachu, is in the plural. Furthermore, the expression for yourself seems to be superfluous. In truth, however, these inconsistencies hint to what we have said. God at first was referring to the greatest of all the emissaries, that of the tribe of Levi, Moses. He said to him, send for yourself. Since you yourself are not going, send someone else in your place, in reference to the rest of the tribes. However, God addressed Moses in the plural. In sending out the other spies, Moses was acting on behalf of and as the representative of the whole of the Jewish people. He is therefore referred to in the plural. But could you imagine the consternation that people of lesser faith would have if Moses was going? We already knew what was going on with the golden calf. When they thought Moses had died, they built a golden calf. What would Saddam have done to the people of this second generation if Moses had gone into the land and he was able to show the people pictures of Moses being dead a second time? And I'm of the opinion that that's why Moses did not go into the land a second time. And here is a spiritual lesson. Even an individual's own soul withdraws from him when he sins. Moses then sent Joshua in his place and drew in him the soul of Levi, as we said. Now, while the spies scouted out the land, they plotted an evil scheme. That is to denigrate the land. Therefore, the souls of the progenitors of the tribes that had been impregnated into them departed from them, as is known. A soul that attaches itself to a person in reincarnation, meaning Gilgulim, does not depart from him until he dies. But one who enters into a person via impregnation, Ibur, withdraws from him when he sins. It says, withdraw now from above the tents of these wicked people. As a matter of fact, even an individual's own soul withdraws from him when he sins. This is the mystical meaning of our sage's statement, that wicked, even in their lifetime, are called dead. When your neshama leaves your body because you're doing an action of sinning, leaves a hole, leaves a space. That hole, that space is filled by a neshama that has affinity with your body and your soul that are still left, the ruach and the neshama and the nefesh. But it also has a connection to the negative system. And this is why someone can be living and actually be dead. Because without a neshama from the positive system, the person is truly dead. Continuing to read. This is alluded to in the verse, and they went and they came to Moses and Aaron. The words "and they went" seem to refer to the spies' expedition into the land of Israel. But we have already been told in the preceding verse that they returned from scouting out the land. So why does the narrative mention again their going, now that they have already come back? The verse should have simply stated, "and they came to Moses." The answer is that the phrase "and they went" refers to the departure of these impregnated souls. And the next phrase, "and they came," refers again to the spies themselves. When they came to Moses, the impregnated souls had already departed from them. These spies were then punished and died. But we are told Joshua and Caleb remained alive from these men. The word "remained alive" does not seem to be appropriate here in the Hebrew. The reason why it is nonetheless used is to indicate that in the case of these two, their impregnated souls did not depart from them. These were the souls of Judah and Caleb and Levi and Joshua. Since Joshua and Caleb did not participate in the sin of the spies, they did not denigrate the land of Israel and discourage the people from entering it. There was no reason for their impregnated souls to depart from them. They therefore possessed an extra measure of life force. Thus, the expression "for lived" is used in reference to them rather than survive. The other spies, however, died as soon as they came to Moses, inasmuch as their impregnated souls departed from them. For the wicked, even in their lifetime, are considered dead, as we said above. This is why the narrative contrasts Joshua and Caleb with them, saying, "from among these men," which appears superfluous. This is also alluded to or hinted to in the verse, "and my servant Caleb, since there was a different spirit with him." This refers to the fact that in the other spies there was a different spirit of the impregnated souls of the progenitors of the tribes in them. They did not remain loyal to me, and therefore departed from their respective descendants. It's also important for you to realize, who did Joshua send into the land to do the spying? He didn't send 10 people from the tribes, he sent 2. The 2 people he sent were Pinchas, which included an Ebor of Nadab and Abihu, and Caleb, which included the Ebor of the tribe of Judah, as just said. It helps you give understanding to additional items. Continuing to read. The phrase "remain loyal to me" is from the verse just quoted describing Caleb, and literally means "fulfilled after me." The Arizal is thus saying that the impregnated souls of the sons of Jacob did not complete the task for which they were impregnated. This was not their fault, of course, so no blame is intended to be imputed to them. Caleb prostrated himself in prayer on the graves of the forefathers in Hebron. With regard to Caleb, however, there was from the outset a different spirit of the impregnated soul of Judah with him, and he therefore did not sin. He therefore remained loyal to me and stayed as loyal at the end as he was at the beginning. The reason these two, Joshua and Caleb, had a different spirit with them, as in the case of Joshua, was proactive. That was a permanent name change. Prayer was effective. Not that he prostrated himself in prayer on the graves of the forefathers. He therefore did not start to the other spies' evil scheme. We have explained elsewhere in the Shar Gilgulim that Caleb was a reincarnation of Eliezer, the servant of Abraham. This would add significance to the fact that he went to pray at the graves of the forefathers. Although Eliezer hailed from the cursed seed, when Laban said to him, "Come in, O blessed one of God," he went out of the category of the cursed and entered the category of the blessed. Eliezer was a Canaanite, a descendant of Canaan, whose seed Noah cursed to be a servant caste. It appears to me, Chaim Vital, that this is alluded to in the verse, "and my servant Caleb," meaning that he was originally a Canaanite servant, cursed, but was now my servant, blessed. My commentary. It would be good to learn as to why the 10 tribal progenitor souls were not successful. In my opinion, the reason is the Torah avoids embarrassing people and souls. My opinion is different than the Ari's. Who would you choose to say is correct? We both can be correct. But you have to learn to utilize all of the information that is available to you. Especially when you're evaluating differences between verses and what those differences mean. That's the end of our class. Are there any questions? While you're unmuting yourself, go ahead.
Okay, I had a question. When you were talking about the progenitors or whatever, souls that were impregnated into the tribes had departed, was that did you say it was the Neshama that departed?
Yes.
Okay, is that the same soul that leaves at night when we're sleeping? Is that the same thing? And it goes when we sleep at night and returns in the morning? Is that the same Neshama? Is that what for us?
The answer is your Neshama leaves when you go to sleep at night, yes. But also, your Ruach and your Nefesh leave with the Neshama, but when they arrive at heaven, having transversed all of the Shin Dalits, the negative entities that are trying to keep you from getting to heaven, once you reach heaven, the three soul components split to their portions in heaven. The Nefesh has a place, the Ruach has a place, and the Neshama has a place.
So when we sin, it's just the Neshama that's affected, not the others?
It depends on whether you have a Neshama to begin with.
Okay.
At the age of 20, you may receive a Neshama if your Ruach has been totally achieved its tikkun. Most people, that doesn't happen till later in life. 25, 30, 40, whatever. So it depends on what's the condition of that soul in that person based on the way they're living their life.
So what happens if they don't do like teshuva or the tikkun after they've sinned? That's just like they never humble themselves and they never do teshuva. I mean, their neshama doesn't come back, never stays departed.
Well, what you're trying to understand is you have a soul combination. There's a nefesh that had completed its tikkun, but this is now the second or later reincarnation. So the nefesh that is there is called a convert. It doesn't mean a convert in the context of what people in the physical world describe as a convert. It's called a convert, meaning it's strange to the Ruach. It's a stranger to the Ruach. And that convert is a creation, the effect of sexual intercourse with righteous people after midnight on Shabbat. So the Ruach, who did not complete its tikkun in the first incarnation, now is coming back, but it cannot come back with this nefesh. So it has to find a nefesh to ride upon, to be a garment to, or for the nefesh to be a garment to it. That's what the purpose of those convert souls are. And that the Ruach finds a convert, comes into the body at birth, at the age of 13, essentially. Now, between the age of 13 and 20, the teenager has a combination tikkun between the parents and himself or herself. At the age of 20, if the Ruach has completed its tikkun, then the neshama comes in. But if the Ruach has not completed its tikkun, then the neshama doesn't come in until the Ruach completes its tikkun. And if after the Ruach has completed its tikkun, the neshama is going to sin, the good neshama leaves and will only return if the person does teshuvah. But if the person never does teshuvah, that neshama will never return in this lifetime. And now you have a hint to why advanced reincarnation is so complex.
Because
we didn't even discuss that each level has 248 parts of the body and 365 parts of the soul.
That's amazing.
And one day some computer programmer who's Jewish, who wants to experiment and play, will put this all into a way of understanding it so that it will make sense to people. And the reason I said that is so you can understand. If you didn't understand my explanation, it's okay.
Well, it's cleared it up a lot for me. I mean, you know, it takes a while to fully get it, but it's cleared it up a lot for me.
I'm glad.
And each time, you know, I hear it. You know, the more I hear it, the more clear it becomes. That's why I continue the classes, because the more you hear, the more you do understand.
That's correct. Are there any other questions? You're very welcome, Judy. Any other questions? Tomorrow we have three classes. The 11 o'clock class, and these are West Coast times. The 11 o'clock class is continuing our study of the book of Joshua. And I think we have additional information that might be helpful in understanding the situation with Joshua. Our 4:30 class will continue our study of the deep Zohar from the Parsha of Vayera. And our 7 o'clock class will be a Tikkuni Zohar. Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you, Milk.
Shalom. Thank you, too.
Shalom. Good night.
Good night, all.
Thank you.
Good night, all.